I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
So, Rick Gaiman, thanks so much for joining us. I'd just like to, I follow you on Twitter, and I actually noticed that you followed me as well when you posted the news about Victor Hovland and Colin Morikawa teaming up for the Zurich Classic. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. And yeah, you do great work. Big fan of yours. And yeah, when I saw that, because I know there had been rumblings about Victor and Colin getting together. And when I saw that you kind of had made it official, I was like, okay, let's roll with this. But I wanted to make sure, yes, you get your due credit, because as I mentioned, you do such great work.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And likewise, I mean, I kind of wish that we could have all our articles in English as well. And I think Victor is getting to that point where I think that needs to be considered, because I mean, I know that people are so crazy about him in Norway, but as I've been going to the States the last couple of years, I mean, I feel like that is kind of expiring to the US as well.
It's so funny, because I use Google Translate a lot, right?
Yeah. So
and sometimes it's, you know, it's mostly good, but I'm not Victor and Colin. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I understand what all this is saying. And I just texted Victor and was like, we're good on this, right? This is right. And he confirmed it. So it was all good. But you're right. I mean, he is obviously, I imagine, quite popular over there. But he is, I mean, he's taken off like a rocket ship over here. I mean, he's such a likable guy. He's so easy to chat with. He's so, you know, so kind. And oh, by the way, he's one of the best golfers in the world. So it's like, it's exactly. Very easy to like him. And he's very popular over here.
Yeah. And just to sum up for the guys wondering who you are, according to your Twitter profile, at least, you're a self-proclaimed golf data fanalist. You're the founder of rickrungood.com, which is a golf data and fantasy site. And then you're a founder of the 300 Yards to an Own podcast, and also host of the First Cut Pod for CBS Sports.
That is correct. Yeah. So my data website, rickrungood.com, it's all golf data. And that's kind of the way that I view golf is very analytics based and very data driven. And then, yes, I have a great relationship with CBS Sports, and I host their golf podcast, which is nearly every single day of the week. So, yes, I'm full on in this golf world.
Yeah, actually, I've been seeing quite a few of the podcasts, especially when we were over there in the US recently. And you also have Kyle Laporter, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so, on that pod,
so. We Kyle comes on a couple of times a week, and he's a great resource for us. And we put together a nice little team. It's been great.
Cool. So what we are here to talk mostly about is the Masters, of course. It's coming up in a very short time. And I mean, I was, before this week's news, I was, you know, going to start off with, you know, Victor and all that. But I have to ask you, there's been, I mean, by the time this podcast comes out, it could be official, but the Tiger Woods news is, yeah, it's on everyone's lips at the moment. And I mean, getting ready for the Masters and the hype and everything, I mean, it's big from before, but now it's enormous.
It's absolutely enormous. And Tiger, anytime he does anything, it's huge. And for him to even try to come back for the Masters after the horrific accident that he had, it's unbelievable. And to get to the point where we, you know, in the days leading up to the Masters, we still think he can play. And I think it's going to happen. I think he's going to end up teeing it up. This is the one spot that if he would do anything to get out there and play. And even when we saw him with Charlie at the PNC Championship in December, I mean, he looked strong. The swing speed was there. It was so interesting to see how much progress he had already made. And that was back in December. So I think we are trending towards a Tiger Woods playing at Augusta National.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way. But I mean, Augusta is, I mean, you don't actually see it as good on TV, but that course is actually really demanding. Have it walked it myself. And I mean, for four straight days, you know, if it's sad, kind of sad to say, but if there's one course that could be, you know, tricky to get around for four straight days, it's Augusta.
And I completely agree. And I also think the other side of it too, you know, which course would Tiger risk it the most, you know, it would be Augusta National. And you're right. And I think it's a really great point. You cannot tell on television the undulation and kind of the angles and how the way the terrain changes there. It is much more difficult than we see just through our televisions.
Yeah, because I remember there's like a fun fact that on, I believe it's hole 10. I mean, the rise in the terrain from the tee to the green is like the height of the Statue of Liberty or something.
Oh, really? I've not heard that. That's interesting.
It might not be completely true, but that's at least what I
close enough, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk. That was Tiger. I mean, we're certainly going to watch that with excitement, but us Norwegians were most, I mean, of course, we're excited by Tiger, but Victor is the main man for us. And I mean, I just want to ask you, firstly, you know, his rise, I mean, his tremendous rise since he came through and won the USM and then broke through on the PGA Tour pretty much. I mean, he actually had to wait a bit longer than Morikawa and Wolf to you know, take the big step. But basically, since he won in Puerto Rico, it's been nonstop.
It's been nonstop. It's been a meteoric rise. And I think one way to even illustrate that is, you know, this is going to be what, the second Masters that he plays as a professional, mm-hmm. right? It's so crazy to think because of all of what he has accomplished in the last 18 months or so. And he's really kind of asserted himself in the top of our game. And what I think is most exciting, and what, you know, guys like me who look into the data, who kind of, when we get excited about guys like Victor, it's because of what he does off the tee, and it's what he does on his approaches. I mean, he's just so strong, nearly head and shoulders above most of the rest of the players on the PGA Tour. That's the exciting part. So you can look at it, and you know, a guy can win multiple times in 12 months or 18 months, but the way that Victor does it is what has us all excited about what the next 10 years looks like.
Yeah, and judging by the numbers, how have you seen, I mean, what has been the key points to his rise, I mean, number-wise? Have you studied that at all? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing that I look into most is the strokes gain metrics, and you can break those down into four categories: off the tee, approach, around the green, and putting. In the last 50 rounds of every single golfer on tour, so 50 rounds is about half a year, depending on guys that play. Victor,
not,
actually,
I mean, not if you're Sung Jae Im.
Well, no, then that's a good a month, basically. But Victor actually played exactly 100 rounds worldwide in 2021. So it's about half a year. He is by far the best ball striker. So that's strokes gained off the tee, plus strokes gained approach. It's he gains over a stroke and a half per round to the tour average. That's to not nerd out too much or to geek out too much, but it's a huge number. And there's nobody better. And that's a really good foundation for him contending, for him winning, for him just being in the mix all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, Augusta is a place where people say that you have to play Augusta at least three or four times just to figure things out. But I mean, we had Victor on a podcast this Christmas, and he was like, we were just wondering, we have heard these rumors and we obviously understand them because the course is crazy difficult. But I mean, he was kind of saying that now 2022 is the first year that he feels like he can contend. I mean, not that he couldn't last year, but I mean, you just learn so much every time you're there. And I mean, of course, people who don't really know how Augusta works will say that, his short game will fail him. But I mean, I feel that the most important stuff on Augusta is where you place the ball on the green. And that, I mean, judging by Victor's numbers, that will place him highly.
Yeah, so Victor was actually quite tidy around the greens in 2021 at Augusta National, but I actually think, and they've made changes around the course here for this year. There's a couple of new greens out there. They made 11 is now 15 yards longer, and there's kind of different bailout spots. There are two parts to this. I think the changes, just any changes that Augusta National is going to make, probably benefits guys with less experience because now everybody's kind of on a more level playing field. And then the changes that they did make on specifically in 11 and 15, I think it helps the guys who can drive it well and the guys that can hit their second shot well. I think that's kind of the nature of making those shots more difficult on those holes, which again, we go back to it, that helps Victor. So I think this is trending in a really good direction with him, with some of the changes that we've seen and the newfound experience that he's been earning over the past couple of years. I think that trends really well for him.
Yeah. And I mean, you probably started your master's prep a long time ago when it comes to the numbers and when it comes to, I'm not sure how much you're into like betting and stuff, but I know fantasy wise, it's that kind of correlates a lot,
Yeah, big time. And I'm certainly big into both fantasy and the betting side of it. A lot of the data on my website is based on fantasy and betting. And you're seeing even now the sports books, the odds makers giving a lot of respect to guys like Victor, right? They realize what a huge threat he is to them if he goes out and wins the golf tournament and how much they're going to end up paying out. But yeah, this is we're seeing him being quite respected across the betting markets and quite respected across the fantasy markets as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was on a website that I usually check ahead of tournaments called Odds Checker. I'm not sure if you're familiar. And what I really noticed is that compared to at least most other tournaments that I see, that the odds are pretty among the top 10. It's not very a lot of differences in the odds. I mean, a lot of players are placed between like 10 and 20 or 10 and 16, and Victor's in that group. That just says all about Augusta, right?
It says it all about Augusta. It says a lot about the field. Get every single one of the best players there. It's hard for odds makers to kind of split hairs and decide, Rory McIlroy is so much better than everybody else. They don't want to take hard stances like that. So you'll see, because the field is so deep and so strong, that a lot of those players are all just kind of in the same odds category because they're all so good. I mean, you could probably pick out 15 or 20 guys that if they won, you'd be not surprised at all.
Yeah. And Victor is currently number 10. I mean, the differences are really small, but I mean, he's currently placed number 10. Is that, does that like rhyme with your own expectations and your own, I mean, just the numbers crunching everything? How do you rank him in that top area?
Yeah. So I probably have his real chances of winning a little bit better than that, probably like top 8 as opposed to top 10. But you're right, these odds makers, and it's the differences are so small with what they're showing across the board. But I actually think and Victor, To go back to the data side of it, he has such a high floor, meaning that because he hits the ball so well off the tee and on approach, he's never going to play himself out of a lot of tournaments. He's going to give himself a lot of chances. And winning's hard. Winning is really, really hard. Everything has to kind of go right for you. There's a little bit of luck involved in winning as well. But because he has such a high floor, he can always be in the mix. And so I kind of give him a little bit better than that, kind of top eight, maybe even top six in terms of chances of winning this thing.
Yeah, you're saying that. I mean, I just remember being at Augusta last year and watching him tee off in hole one, and he made a triple bogey. And I was like, right. Okay. That's it. And then he actually made like three straight birdies after, I think, but that just shows that, I mean, if there's one place that you're like, you can't give away triple bogeys, it's right. Augusta, right?
It really is. I mean, we saw Justin Thomas do it last year. Justin Thomas was in the mix on Saturday again. And I can't remember if it was right before the weather delay or right after. I think he made a triple on 13 and it's over. That's it. Mm. You know, you can play well, but there's not necessarily enough opportunities to make up those strokes and then some. So you really have to be engaged and playing well. I mean, it's a full test. It's 72 holes, and one bad one, as we've seen, can play yourself out of it.
Yeah, and you talk about Victor as like maybe a top eight, top six. What does your own hunch say? Who do you have as like the top two, three guys?
Yeah,
and what do you base it on?
Yeah, so a couple of things. We talked about the experience around Augusta National and how important that is. So someone like Justin Thomas, who has gotten basically better every year at Augusta National, is very exciting. And now he has Bones on his bag. And obviously we know Bones has been around for a couple of Phil Mickelson's green jackets. So that experience certainly goes a long way. So I think he's on the short list. I'll tell you, I like the fact that Rory McIlroy has decided to play the week before the Masters at the Valero Texas Open. He's been very clear with how everything is, you know, revolves around him trying to complete the career Grand Slam and always thinking about the Masters. This is a really good way for him to kind of keep his mind off of things. But I'll tell you, the guy that has my full attention is Brooks Koepka. And I think Brooks is healthy for the first time in a long time.
I saw him playing with Victor last year, and he could barely walk.
Yeah. And we talked about the walk, and we talked about how physical this is. And this is a guy who's finished inside the top 10 at half of the major championships he's played. He looked good at the match play and he sounded good. He seemed like he was in good spirits. He felt comfortable with his game. I don't think we've seen a healthy Brooks in a long time. And I think we're getting him healthy now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that's exciting. And another guy who is slowly but surely making his way back is Bryson DeChambeau. I know a lot of people are, you know, his match play wasn't very good, but I mean, he showed some signs. How do you see his chances at Augusta?
Yeah, it's really hard to kind of be off your game at Augusta National. And he missed so much time with the wrist injury, and he kind of made it harder on himself when he called this a par 67 a couple of years ago. I mean, that's tough to come back from. The big concern I have around Bryson is he's obviously going to bomb it. He's obviously going to try to bring Augusta National to its knees, but you cannot miss left at Augusta National. If you miss left, you're just done. And when he gets a little bit off, those left misses come into play. So I'm not as excited about Bryson just because he hasn't played as much. The one thing that he does tend to do when things go wrong is miss it left, and you just can't do that around Augusta National.
Do you have any like dark horses that are maybe priced at a price that you say like, okay, that's good value, like in yes. lower part of the pack?
Yeah, so you start going down a little bit further down the board, and even guys like Will Zalatoris, I think is really interesting.
We remember 2021.
Exactly right. You know, he's had the runner-up finish, and it feels like he's even gotten better since then. You know, and he's contended more often. And we saw in the match play, he kind of tweaked that putting stroke a little bit to kind of iron out some of the issues that he's had with that. And you know, he's another guy that hits his second shot, hits that approach shot so well. It's off the center of the club face every single time. So he's someone that I think could make quite a bit of noise at the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, that improved putting stroke was really annoying for us Norwegians when he suddenly became prime Patrick Reed in that playoff, and that was
I know he starts making everything when he finds a matchup with Victor.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's cool. I mean, we saw some really special conditions at the Players when that was played. You know, that made. I mean, the tournament really kind of a lottery, at least before the cut was made. I see that there's some like showers and stuff for next week, but it looks good, doesn't it?
It does look good. We always joke that there's almost like a dome over Augusta National. Mm-hmm. Because even when you see a storm rolling in, it turns away right as it gets to Augusta National. So it is amazing, but they have such an ability to keep that course playing as consistent as possible. I mean, they've got every resource in the world. The weather forecast early out, you know, still looking like it's going to be fairly good, fairly clear. So I would not have too many concerns about weather playing a large role in the championship.
Yeah, and the conditions. I mean, the course. How do you think it will be played, and who does that favor conditions?
Yeah, so I think if ideally, you know, the staff at Augusta National, they would like it to be firm and fast. They would like you to have to hit specific spots on the fairway and play it play the roll a little bit, because at Augusta National, the golf is not just played through the air; it's also played on the ground at times as well. So it definitely does benefit guys that can keep it in play, keep it in the tree lines. You know, there are a couple of ways that you could get wayward off the tee and get yourself into some really big trouble. So if you're able to keep it in play, like a Justin Thomas, you know, like a Rory McIlroy, who's going to use his driver as a weapon, ideally around Augusta National, I think with the way that they want the course to be set up, it certainly benefits those guys.
Cool. Yeah, hoping for a firm and fast week for sure. I just want to, before we round off, talk a little bit about your relationship with Victor, because I see he's been on your podcast and so. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, how you guys connected, and also just how you know?
Yeah, so we got connected, I guess, last September. So I'm in Las Vegas, and I got connected through a mutual friend. And we went to dinner here in Las Vegas, those back-to-back weeks where it was Summit Club and TPC Summerlin. And we've stayed in touch. And you know, Victor is, to me, a real student of the game, and he understands kind of metrics. And he's just a normal guy, right? I mean, he's just a normal guy. And we stay in touch via text about golf and about some other common interests that we have. And I try to leave him alone, you know, during tournaments.
Do you play poker?
Yeah, he's a big poker guy, yeah. Right? Yeah, he's a big poker guy. So I play casually, obviously, but we kind of talk about hands and things like that. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And I try not to bother him when, you know, when it's tournament time and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's really, you know, outside of tournaments, it's pretty easy to, you know, communicate with him. But when he's like in the zone, I've learned to just stay away.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth me bothering him over anything. You know what I mean? It's all good. But yeah, he's very, very kind, obviously, and very, very easy to chat with.
Yeah. That's my perception as well. Okay, so just to round things off, if you look into a crystal ball into the future, let's say the end of the next season, where do you see Victor Hovland in the mix? Where do you see him at his position, both like on the world rankings and also like in the golfing community?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing because he's already, top five in the world ranking. So there's not much more room for him to go up. So I think that he's going to be a staple in that top five, in that top 10. There's obviously going to be ebbs and flows because of the way the world ranking works. But again, statistically, and the way the style of golf that he plays is really good for the modern game. And as long as he continues to hit the ball as well as he does off the tee and hit it on approach, he's going to be a threat to win basically every tournament that he tees up. And there's going to be constant comparisons to Colin Morikawa, who already has a couple of major championships under his belt. But, you know, Victor's still building that major championship experience. I think that he is going to be one of the favorites and a threat to win a lot of golf tournaments and add major championships to his resume. And it's a really good style of golf for the way that the game shapes up right now.
Sounds good. I see. I just, my crystal ball says that he will bring home his first major at home soil in Oklahoma in May. So
Southern Hills is probably a very good spot for him. Yes.
I think him and Scotty Scheffler in the last group there.
There you go. That'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think there's going to be a lot of good. There's also going to be a lot of good PGA Championship spots for him in the next couple of years. It's just it's going to be really exciting to kind of see how he takes advantage of those opportunities.
For sure. For sure. Okay. Last question. If you're going to predict where Victor Hovland is going to end this year's Masters.
I think he's going to be inside the top 10. I hope he wins it. I hope he wins it. But the winning is a little bit random. It's a little bit lucky. You can do everything that you need to, and someone can kind of steal it away from you. But I believe when we get to the weekend, Victor's going to be in the mix. I think he finishes inside the top 10. If things shake out his way, which he might control, he might not. Maybe he slips on a green jacket, gets back into Butler Cabin.
Yeah, I mean, I got the chills when him and Tiger were there in 2019. I'm not going to imagine how it's going to be if he slips on the jacket himself.
Yeah, it would be phenomenal. But he's certainly one of the guys that has the skills to do it. And, you know, the stars have to align. You only get one Masters a year, right? And there's a lot of guys that can win it. So I think he'll be in the mix, and hopefully things fall in his favor.
Perfect. I'm going to say that the last word from the expert, and that's a good to hear for us Norwegians. So we're just going to not trust you, but take your word for it. And I think it's going to be up there too. I just hope that he told me at Valspar that he probably shouldn't have played the tournament and that he was kind of burned out. So I just hope that, you know, he's rested up well and is ready. So, it's going to be hard not to be really motivated and have some extra energy coming into Augusta. So
yeah, you can hold whatever it takes. We'll be able to find the energy for the Masters. It'll be great. Yeah, perfect.
Okay, Rick, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with both your website and your work going forward. We're going to post a few links when we publish this podcast. And thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.